Brand new clips to play for you right now. Archbishop Vigano. He's warning about the vaccine, the bioweapon, the crime against humanity, social Marxist, the Jesuits, the Freemasons, Pope Francis being taken over. They're taking over the Vatican. He warns about what they're doing and the Great Reset in a 90-minute presentation. And I started playing clips Sunday night on my TV show last night. And now tonight, I want to play for you a clip I have not played where he goes after the Masons. I got 5 clips where he goes after the Freemasons. And then my friend, Dr. Ron Carlson, on a presentation I filmed in 2010 at my conference in the Ozarks on Freemasonry. You've got to understand this if you want to understand the worldview war taking place on a global scale. Listen to this brand new clip from the last few days by Archbishop Vigano.
The fourth revolution theorized by Klaus Schwab and the family of international finance find in Bergoglio not a neutral spectator, which would itself already be an unheard of thing, but actually a zealous cooperator who abuses his own moral authority in order to support a destra, outside the church, the project of the dissolution of traditional society. While adept within the church, he pursues the project of the demolition of the church in order to replace her with a philanthropic organization of Masonic inspiration.
Oh, wow. He wants to turn, he says, the Catholic Church into a philanthropic organization of Masonic inspiration. Now, again, you may be saying, why is he going after the Masons? What's that all about? My grandfather, maybe you say, was a Mason, or maybe you say my dad was a Mason. Well, chances are good they were at the lower levels. And even as the authorities of the Freemason, Manly P. Hall, Albert Pike, admit, at the lower levels, they do not tell you what's really going on. They save that for when you get higher up. And even that's exactly what Vigano says. Here's the next clip on Freemasonry, a brand new clip from the last few days by Vigano, warning about the Great Reset. Who's behind it, he says? The Marxists, the globalists. He particularly points out the Jesuits and the Freemasons. And notice he doesn't say Pope Francis. He never once said that word. He calls him Bergoglio, his given name. He doesn't recognize him as the Pope.
You've spoken to me on other occasions of the group called Freemasonry and of their interest in bringing some of these changes about. Can you discuss this? Thank you.
Freemasonry is the mystical body of Satan, because Satan is the entity that it adores at its highest levels of initiation. The illumination which it promotes to its members consists in subjecting them to the cultic worship of a great architect, which shows its infernal features only when one is no longer able to turn back. The Enlightenment, like other philosophical movements, was the cultural and ideological instrument with which Freemasonry corrupted the European elites and mobilized the masses to rebellion against authority on sovereigns.
All right, so he's talking about Freemasonry, and he's talking about the fact that they get initiated up to the point where they can no longer turn their back. And again, whether you talk about the Messianic or the Masonic Freemasonry experts and authorities, Manly P. Hall or Albert Pike, they will tell you. It's in their writings. I'll try to give some of those quotes tomorrow night. They say that they hold this back from the people until they're so far in that and so high up in the level that they are initiated. So people say, oh, well, my father or grandfather belonged. Or maybe you're watching and saying, well, I belong to the Masons. There's nothing in there. Well, you just didn't get high enough. As the Archbishop says, you weren't initiated. But once you get in so far, you cannot turn your back. They've got you. And that's what this is, occultism at its highest level. And I can tell you more about that, but I'm going to let Ron Carlson do that in just a minute. Listen to this next clip by Archbishop Vigano.
The neo-pagan philosophy and current of Eastern spiritualism have insinuated into our society a positive evaluation or concept that originated in agnostic and Masonic matrix. This is not a coincidence. Many of these movements are nothing other than religious declination of the philosophical principle of the Enlightenment, of relativism, of subjectivism, of liberalism, and all of the modern errors. Thus, the illumination of Buddha, consisting of a sort of awareness, one own divinization, or one annihilation into a pantheistic whole, find its correspondent in the Universal Declaration of the Rights of Man and of the Citizen, who becomes the center of the world after having ousted Jesus Christ. Through religion, defends the individuality of each person in his intimate relationship with his Creator, Lord and Redeemer, and in his relationship with his fellow man. By contrast, in the new anthropocentric conception, the individual is annulled into an indistinct mass in which the state is lord and master of his citizens. And this has led the foundation for socialism, communism, Nazism, and today transhumanist globalism.
So communism, write this down, globalism. All right, so what's he saying there? He's saying that you have a Gnosticism. Now, what is Gnosticism? That I could do hours on Gnosticism. And I've written extensively on these topics over the years, including my book, Religious Trojan Horse, The Coming Religious Reich, and others. Gnosticism is a huge definition. This would be a very large definition. But one simple term of Gnosticism would be hidden knowledge, the desire for hidden knowledge. And today, many people seek and have for generations hidden knowledge through many ways. One, it would be through transcendental meditation, as the Maharishi called it, which is really a new name for an old practice known as yoga, where you try to make the natural world dissolve, enter into the spiritual world, get your chakras in line, and encounter new understanding. So it could be through some form of meditation, a trance, an altered state of consciousness. Others have chosen drugs. Marilyn Ferguson, a well-known New Ager or a promoter of cosmic humanism, said years ago the whole purpose of LSD in our country was to get people to open up their channels and have a religious experience. Aldous Huxley, talking to Timothy O'Leary, talked about drugs as a way to get people to open up their channels and to realize a alternative set of beliefs, a pluralistic system of beliefs. All roads lead to God. And they said in their conversation, they had run into the Christians and the Bible with their belief in one God and one Savior. And so again, pluralism or an open universalism says that there are many ways to God. In fact, all ways lead to God. And ultimately you are God, as the bishop or as the Archbishop Vigano was saying, you end up with a idea of a Masonic matrix mixed with this Gnosticism, desiring hidden knowledge that ultimately produces the worldview of not the individual and individual rights and an individual that is accountable to God and before God, but where we have a monism, or he used the word pantheism. All is God. All is God, pantheism, also known as panentheism. God is in all, the trees, the moon, the stars, everything. All is God, a oneness. We're all a part of each other. We're all one. There's a oneness. There is no distinction between the creation and the creator. Now, Romans 1 says, when a nation is judged by God, one of the things he gives them over to is they worship nature rather than the creator who is blessed forevermore. They worship creation rather than the creator. They've been given over. This is part of God's judgment. And yet, this fits right in with a cosmic New Age pantheistic belief that we're all one. We're all a part of each other. We're all a part of God, and you have salvation collectively, collective salvation. Whereas a Christian, we understand that everyone must come to a point where they understand their sinfulness. We live in a sinful, fallen world because of sin, one man's sin, Adam's sin entered into the world, and we're thankful for the second Adam, Christ, who laid down his life as a ransom for those who place their faith and trust in Christ. His righteous life is imputed or credited to our account, which is why he cried out, "It is finished," debt paid in full, a banking transaction. Your debt's been covered. The righteous life of Christ imputed or credited to your life as though you lived that righteous life of Christ, and imputed to him or credited to his banking account was your sinful life as though he lived it. All it takes is faith. No, that is something an individual must do, not collectively. Pantheism says we're all one, we're all a part of each other, all is God and God is all, therefore we come collectively together for collective salvation. And the individual is no longer the basis of rights, individual accountability. Now it's collective. Now it's socialism. He said that. This leads to socialism, the collective versus the individual. Now we're into socialism. Now this brings rise to things like Nazism and communism and socialism and globalism. But he started with talking about Gnosticism, the pursuit of hidden knowledge, often through occultism, to mix with a matrix of the Masons, a Masonic matrix. Watch this next clip.
And the Club di Roma. Precisely in giving the movement a religious imprint that predisposed its adherent to Masonic and globalist principles, steeped in the ecological pantheism and pacifism, which today the Bergoglian Church has adopted as its own.
Notice again, he doesn't call him Pope Francis, the Bergoglio Church. See, he believes that's a false church, that he's this guy. He said in another clip, isn't it ironic that this is all happening when we have the first Jesuit sitting there in the Vatican? And of course, we know what the Jesuits are all about. And those of you who don't, I've done 4 one-hour TV shows on the Jesuits, and I'll get my notes out, my PowerPoint. In the next few days, I'll do a whole presentation for you on the Jesuits, which Archbishop Vigano is warning about. But again, he warns about the Masons. Let's go to the last clip.
When the project of the universal religion becomes a reality, the faithful of the religions that do not accept the Masonic or globalist vision will be excluded. But already now we see a true skimming off the top, so to speak, between progressives and fundamentalists.
All right, so there's going to be no toleration for those who do not agree with the Masonic worldview, this idea of an enlightened people who now worship the great architect. Now, as we're going to find out, what this is really all about is a universalism that is, well, about this. Listen to what Albert Pike said. He was one of the leading authorities of Freemasonry. The universal, eternal, immutable religion such as God planted in the heart of the universal humanity. No creed has ever been long-lived that was not built upon this foundation. The ministers of this religion are all Masons. Its sacrifices to God are good works. So it's not about faith and repentance in Christ. It's about trying to earn your salvation through good works and perpetual efforts to attain to all the moral perfection of which man is capable. Well, that's interesting because God has said all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, right? We only do good because of those who are empowered by a new life in Christ. That's what otherwise your works, the Bible says, are of filthy rags apart from Christ. But listen to how he goes on to describe Masonry. He says, we belong to no one creed or school. In all religions, there is a basis of truth. In all, really, so Islam is a basis of truth. This is about murdering the Jew and the Christian. Satanism? In all, there is pure morality. All teachers and reformers of mankind, we admire and revere. Masonry has her mission to reform. She invites all men of all religions to enlist under her banner. Masonry reverences all the great reformers. It sees in Moses, the lawgiver of the Jews, in Confucius, in Jesus of Nazareth, in the Arabian leaders, great teachers of morality, eminent reformers, if no more, and allows every brother of the order to assign to each such higher and even divine character as his creed and truth require. Masonry is a worship, but one in which all civilized men can unite. So it's universalism. But he goes on, Albert Pike, to say, the first Masonic teacher was Buddha. So here you have Vigano saying, look, this is Buddhism. This is Buddhism. This is pantheism. All is God. God is all, pantheism. And yet he warns about Freemasonry, which is, they say, the first teacher was Buddha. Well, we also know that from the Lost Keys of Freemasonry by another authority of the Masons, Manly P. Hall, he writes, the true Mason is not creed-bound. He realizes with the divine illumination of his lodge that as a Mason, his religion must be universal, Christ, Buddha, or Muhammad. The name means little, for he recognizes only the light and not the bearer. He worships at every shrine, bows before every altar, whether in temple, mosque, or cathedral, realizing with his true understanding the oneness, there's that oneness, the oneness of all spiritual truth, end quote. So it doesn't matter whether it's Christ or Muhammad. Well, that's very interesting because there is a huge difference between Christ and Muhammad. One of them is Muhammad's dead. Christ is alive. If you can't save yourself, you're not a savior. Christ not only said he would die, he said he would resurrect, and he appeared to the 500 witnesses and others. Even the Apostle Paul says, go and ask the skeptic and critic who saw him alive. So there's a huge difference between Muhammad and Christ. But notice again, this is from the authorities of the Freemasons.